you're about to hear may not be suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants.
Listen to me.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM, fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM!
And now, here's BAM!
Here's BAM!
You got it.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is BAM, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, BAM. Chad, I just got out of fucking rehab.
Yeah?
Yeah, in Wethersville, Pennsylvania, right outside of Reading. I don't know. It's right by Gina Lynn's house.
What kind of rehab?
Like a drug, alcoholic rehab.
Well, what did you go in there for, alcohol or drugs?
Well, is what happened was, the thing is, I got caught at the wrong time, big time, because...
Caught?
Yeah,
sound
caught.
Like an alcoholic already.
Well, the thing is, I go on these benders, like 3-day benders, and then,
John benders.
And then I'm sober for like 4 to 5 days, and then I'll go on a 3-day bender again.
Well, 45 days sober sounds
But
good.
Like, on the 5th day sober is when Missy, Ape, and Phil and a few of my friends decided to have an intervention on me. So I walk downstairs at noon, and I'm like fully energized, ready to like skate and work out and all this stuff. And then I look downstairs, and there's a bunch of chairs in a circle.
Right.
And I look downstairs, and everybody's like standing there, and it's like Boof, Jess, G, Franz, Jacasso, Ape, Phil, Jessica, like, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then there's two dudes, intervention dudes, that the people that helped Eminem out, they were at my house, and I was like, what the fuck is this, man? I was like, you know what? You caught me at the wrong time, because I'm perfectly happy and I'm perfectly sober, and maybe if I came down completely hungover and bent out of shape, then I'd listen to you guys, but like, I'm not doing this. I'm getting the fuck out of here. So I try to leave. Missy locked all the cars and hid all the keys, so I couldn't go anywhere. And it was snowing out, and I had on slippers, so like I couldn't go anywhere really. So Jess and Ryan Dunn talked me into just going downstairs and just hearing everybody out, and I was supposed to go into rehab for 30 days, but I agreed to the 5-day program, which is like a detox kind of program, and I did it, and well, I kind of didn't do it because I just left on the fourth day. Yeah. Yeah, I made it 4 days and I couldn't take it anymore, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because everybody in rehab who I met, dude, they're all fucked up on like Ativan, opiates, heroin, like alcohol and Percocets and shit like that. Like,
this is your first time in rehab.
Yeah, and I never been to like an AA meeting or NA meeting or anything. So like, so I basically show up and they're like, you know, usually it's like, so how are you feeling? You know, like, oh, I'm feeling pretty shitty, you know? And then they give you, like, all these pills to, like, get off a detox. They're like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I feel fine. And they're like, okay, well, why don't you go lay down for a bit? I'm like, okay, I guess. So I lay down for a bit. They give me, starts with an L, Librium or something like that. And then,
What's that?
I don't know. It put me to sleep. But then I wake up, and then, how you feeling now? I feel fine, like how I did when I showed up. So then I go to the, Atkins unit, which is like, where I have a roommate and all this stuff. And like, first of all, as soon as I get into the fucking place, there's a kid who looks over and sees me.
So this wasn't a fancy... Schmancy, celebrity
no.
rehab.
No, it's a fancy place. It's $1,000 a day. And this kid sees me and he's like, holy fucking shit, it's Bam Margera from Jacket. No fucking way. You know? And they say, like, if you go to rehab, like, you don't talk about what happens in there. Like, that kid went and told everybody in his unit that I was there. And then...
That's gotta be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it sucked. And then, thank God, the next person who came in, they put me in a room, and I was solo. It was just me sleeping all night. And then, in the morning, some dude from Long Island came in, and he has on, Van shoes, an Element sweatshirt, and a Volcom hat. And I'm like, oh, great, a skater or a surfer, great. You know, but thank God he was coming off of heroin and he was too ill to talk to me, but he's like, holy shit, it's Bam. Like, yo, dude, what's going on? Like, but, like, all he wanted to do was go to sleep, so I didn't have to talk to him. So thank God for that. So then...
Then you check in to meet your roommate, right?
Yeah, yeah. I am not kidding. I go in to my roommate... And he walks in, he has a Clutch t-shirt on, a Company Band sweatshirt on, and a fucking Element hat. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. He's like...
He definitely knew who you were.
Oh, yeah. He's like, yo, dude, oh, fuck yeah, I'm rooming with you, this is fucking totally awesome, you know? And he's
pretty
like...
pretty much picked his musical taste and his wardrobe.
Yeah, and he's like, yo, I went to the Node on Thanksgiving and saw the Company Band play. It was totally fucking awesome. I love Clutch, da-da-da-da-da. You directed their music video, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, I did, yeah. And, you know, and then then he's like, you want me to show you around? I'm like, yeah, I suppose, you know. So then I, like, walk around with him, and he's kind of, like, showing me around the whole place. And he takes me to the cafeteria when it's lunchtime, and I sit down. As soon as I sit down... I turn around and there's a kid with a fucking Bam t-shirt on it. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, dude. Fucking, like.
You dress the whole rehab.
Yeah. Every living second of being in rehab, I was like contemplating on when I was gonna take a stand and leave.
You should have went to that celebrity rehab, man.
But I'm telling you, like, you know, I said that I was going to commit to the 5-day program, and everybody who does that, it's all bullshit because they, like, make you do the 30-day program. But, like, I have a book signing tour, and I told them as blatantly as I could. I said, look, I have a book signing tour that I'm not going to cancel. There's no way you can talk me out of it. I'm leaving. And you sitting here trying to talk me out of it is not going to work because I've already made up my mind. And, you know, like, they is what they do. They get the whole group of like 10 people who are in the whole unit with me. And they all come down and try to like reason with me and talk me into staying and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, I know that like this is what you're supposed to do and try to talk me into staying. But like. You're wasting your time because I've already made up my mind. I've already talked to Phil. I've already talked to my dad. And I told him that I'm leaving. And, you know, Gina Lynn and Travis, who live in Birdsboro, the porn stars, live one town over. And I've already called them. And they're already on their way to come and pick me up. So I'm leaving. Like, there's no way you could talk me out of it. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm leaving. You know?
Well, do you think... you went to the wrong rehab? Maybe there's a better one?
No, this one was good. Like, it was a really nice place. The food was great. And it really was.
Would you go back there to eat?
Dude, I'm not kidding. Like, it was so boring in there that the only thing that you could look forward to is, like, noon, lunchtime. And then 5 o'clock, dinner time. And then 3:30, gym time. Like, I looked forward to going to the gym. Like, all the other shit was like lectures, like bullshit ass lectures and spiritual meetings and meditation and just total bullshit, man. Like,
what kind of rehab was it? Was it a 12-step program?
Yeah, a 12-step program. And you know, like, I had a spiritual meeting with a supervisor, like a pastor type dude. Right. And yeah, and he's like super spiritual, and he's like asking me like what religion I am, and I'm like, I'm not any religion. I'm not Catholic. I'm not Christian. I don't know anything about it, and I don't want to know anything about it. And I think praying is weird, and I think it's dumb. I'm like, it, you know, like I've seen skaters at skate competitions like pray to land a trick. Like, I think
doesn't work.
Yeah, well, if you landed the trick, it just means that you practiced hard enough and you did it because you've been trying hard enough. Like, if you didn't land it, it's simply because you didn't practice hard enough or you drank too much the night before. It has nothing to do with praying to God.
They're trying to bring religion into your thing right away?
And I have a problem with that because, like...
Seems like a big mistake at 12-step programs is they...
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, if I was God, I'd be fed up that too many people are praying and asking for fucking favors. I'd be fed up. Really?
Yeah, well... so, you go in there... And then the first day that you wake up, they get you to rest, and you wake up and you have, like, group at, like, 9 a.m. or something? What time did they make you wake up?
More like 6:30.
6:30?
Yeah, and the worst problem was, is that, you know, everybody in there told me that, you know, most people go through 3 to 5 days of detox. And I went through not even one day of detox, and they gave me a little bit of medication to go to sleep the first night. Librium, I think it was called. But the second night and the third night and the fourth night, I got 2 hours of sleep, then 2.5 hours of sleep, and then maybe four hours of sleep. And I kept telling the counselor, I'm like, dude, I'm not sleeping. I'm staring at the ceiling, and the dude who's my roommate snores like a motherfucker. I want to order a pallet of Snore No More because I, you know, and like a noise machine and earplugs don't even work because he snores so loud. And I'm like, I cannot sleep. And they recommend fucking chamomile tea or warm milk. I'm like, I've had 3 cups of chamomile tea and it didn't work at all. And I've had warm milk and that didn't work either. It's 4 a.m. and I'm still wide awake and I'm going to get woken up at 6:30 in the morning to go to breakfast and then listen to a fucking lecture. And, you know, I'm pretty much fucking tired and exhausted. And like, you have to show up to these meetings.
Well, were you fiending for any alcohol during your stay?
Not really. Only at nighttime when I was, like, super bored because they, like, honestly, I tried to have Phil drop off some skateboard magazines and a Marilyn Manson book, and they wouldn't let him do that because... the only thing that they want you to read in there is AA books and NA books. And I read like 2 pages and I was fucking bored to tears.
Didn't Novak tell you all about this? I mean, would Novak have went to the same type of rehab or did you go to a different type? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, Baltimore is like the heroin capital of the world. And he goes to like, you know, really shitty rehabs. You know, ones that are almost free, you know, but the one that I went to was like $1,000 a day. So I was at like a really nice one.
I think that sounds relatively cheap to me, considering it's
$1,000 a day.
Well, insurance paying that. Yeah.
How do you know insurance pays that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it insurance sponsored? Is it who's paying for it? Is it what you didn't have to pay cash?
I'm sure Phil did it,
yeah.
But and you know what pisses me off? I hope he didn't pay for the 30-day program because that's $30,000, and I never agreed or signed up to that. I came down to a fucking intervention, and they wanted me to do 30 days, and I'm like, I'm not canceling this MTV book signing because I'm simply not going to do it, and you know, and then they say, okay, well, how about the 5-day program? I'm like, fine. I'll go to the fucking place for 5 days just to please you assholes, but that's about it. And you know what? I'm sober right now, and this is totally bullshit. You know, and that's why... That's
if you don't want to be there, I don't see how rehab can truly help. I mean, you have to really want to be there. And
yeah, really and the thing is, people, all the people that I was with, they've been there for 2 weeks or more. And they're getting, like, you know, Suboxone and Seroquel to go to sleep and all this shit after 2 weeks. I'm there my second day, and I get no medication whatsoever. You know, so I'm like, you know, obviously my problem isn't so bad if I black out once a week from Jack Daniels and maybe a few Adderalls. You know, like, these dudes are on fucking Ativan, heroin, and loads of alcohol and opiates and benzos and who knows, you know, like...
Well, blacking out once a week sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do that. I mean, I wake up with fucking bruises on my head and I don't know how it happened. And that sucks. And I'd like to stop that. That's the reason why I agreed to go. Other than that, you know, like, I don't want to... The fact of stopping drinking cold turkey scares me to death because I just don't see that happening.
Well, you need some type of vice to get you through what you're bored about. I mean, I guess you got to figure out what it is your real problem is if it's not alcohol. I mean, you don't feel like you're fiending for alcohol just for the sake of being drunk or getting high. I mean, you...
Well, the thing is...
Trying to cover something else up.
If I go, like, 10 to 12 days without drinking, you know, it's pretty easy to do, but... is always how it starts over again, is going to, like, a nice fancy dinner and seeing this, like, nice-ass red wine list, you know, from, like, Chile and all this stuff, and I look over and I see these, like, old dudes with suits on, like, sipping on this nice-ass red wine, and it makes me want a glass real bad, but, like, you know, and I keep telling myself, like, man, you know what? I could really use just one glass of red wine. It's never one glass. Like, they say... They say one glass is too much, and 1,000 glasses is never enough.
Who told you that? They said that in rehab?
Yeah. And it's kind of true.
Well, I feel like I don't have a drinking problem because I don't black out, and I don't drink every day. And I mean, you know, I'm not... People aren't setting up interventions, so obviously everybody, your family... They're not bullshitting you. They give a shit. They care a lot about you to set that whole thing up and
yeah, but you know, they just there. Did it at the absolute wrong time. Like
it was the right time. You went.
I went to please them.
Well, do you think you'll go back?
No.
You don't think you'll ever go back on your own?
Unless it gets real bad. But I mean,
did you learn anything from this experience to, like, avoid...
Yeah, I learned that I was so fucking bored that I wrote half of a book, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, do you think no one's going to try another intervention now just because you walked out 4 days?
Dude, you know what?
The next interventions, people are just going to hold you down and... They're just trying to keep you alive and safe. You know, just trying to keep you alive and safe, dude.
I know, but, like, I don't need that. You know, like...
Well, it like, appears...
I'd rather have, like, a girl that's on my side rather than a fucking second mom. And that's what Missy became, and I'm fed up, and I don't know if I want to deal with it anymore.
Well, when you're blacking out, I mean, what kind of person are you to relate to? That's not much of a, you know, a partner if you're blacked out, you know, and not yourself.
Well, that's only on the third day of a bender.
The person everybody likes is the guy who's closer to sober than blacked out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where everybody wants you to kind of be.
Yeah.
You know, it's for your own good as well. I mean, everybody likes you better when you're closer to sober.
Dude, the people who were there to, like, teach people about AA and NA and all this shit, they have, like, their standard speech. And most people there have, like, 9-to-5 jobs. And if they drink too much, then they have... they're in jeopardy of losing their job. They didn't know what to do with me when I told them. I was like, okay, my job is being on a show called Jackass, and I'm the only person who is in the line of work who benefits from getting shit-faced on Jack Daniels and pissing in their mouth and then jumping on a taxi cab that's moving full speed and getting hit by a car, and then we get brilliant footage, and then I get a reward. So, like... You know, drinking is a benefit. Not to mention, and then they say, you know, if you don't want to drink, you simply just cannot go to a bar, because if you go to a bar, you're going to start drinking. I raise my hand. They're like, yes, sir. I'm like, okay, what if you own a bar? and you have to be there.
Yeah.
And there's bands that you like, you know, like suppose CKY plays and they have a 2-hour set. You expect me to sip on ginger ales all day? Like, and then the next day, like Alkaline Trio plays or something, and then it's another 2-hour set. Like, and then I sip on more ginger ale. Like, one day it's going to fold and I'm going to have a red wine or something.
Well, I think it's everything else in your life should be more important than the CKY concert or the Alkaline Trio concert, or even being at the bar. Owning the bar doesn't constitute you having to be there or drink.
The problem is that if CKY plays at my bar...
Don't blame it on us.
No, I'm giving an example.
All right.
If I'm sober... Dude, I'm not kidding. I can't even clap or go woo. I can't do it. But if I'm drunk, then it's like woo, fuck yeah, motherfucker, yeah, woo. Like, and I'm like all excited and jumping around. But if I'm sober, like, I'm too nervous to even clap.
It's a social misfunction that you have going on,
and that's the problem.
And drinking makes you feel more fun and entertaining.
I feel like I'm more fun.
Well, at times you are more fun, and then at times you're a lot worse than anyone could imagine what fun would be.
That's yeah, when you see me on the third day of a fucking bender.
Sometimes...
A John Bender.
You know, sometimes you get real bad, dude, and everybody has a baby.
No, I know,
you know,
I know.
But,
that's why I went, is because I know.
Right. But what are you gonna do... For real, like, if rehab's not your thing, I mean, is there anything you're gonna adjust to avoid these blackout benders that you're doing?
Well, they said you have to follow the complete 12 steps, and if you say but in any of the 12 steps, then it's not gonna work. And the but that I have is, but I don't believe in religion, and I don't believe in all this spiritual bullshit. I don't believe in meditation. I think it's fucking gay. I think that being Catholic is gay. I think being Christian is gay. I think it's all fucking dumb.
It's gay.
It's gay.
Well, fuck the butt.
You know? Seriously. Like, and that's what they said. If you say but, which I do, I say, but I'm not into this whole spiritual religion thing. And that's my whole big problem.
Well,
like I don't know
what that has to do with
sobriety. I think praying is dumb.
They're trying to give you something else to care about. That's something else to distract you from the thoughts, you know, and something else to look forward to. I don't want to get into a whole conversation about religion, but I guess distraction is all a big part of it. You have a lot of things to distract yourself with, but you seem that you're letting the alcohol distract you from all those other things. You know, I mean.
And then they said, you know what? You know, if you're drinking and you're trying to stop, you need to find a new circle of friends.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, well, what if your circle of friends get paid to hang out with me to film a TV show and half of them are hell on wheels? You know? And they, dude, like, these teachers, they've been there for 15 years. They didn't know what to say. I'm like, they get paid to hang out with me to film stupid shit, and they have to be there.
Well, when did you start really drinking heavy, fam? I mean, it has the whole through the first early CKY movies, you weren't drunk in CKY Land Speed or 2K.
No, I wasn't.
What CKY movie were
probably
were
CKY you, 3.
You were officially drunk during some of the CKY 3, or?
Well...
Because I remember when you started drinking, you'd drink 2 beers and you'd get wasted.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, most kids in rehab, which they were telling me, like, you know, they got fucked up when they were, like, 15, 16, 17. And, like, they asked me when I had my first drink. I'm like, when I was 21. They're like, really? You know, like, when did you smoke your first cigarette? I'm like, when I was 28. They're like, nuh-uh. I'm like, yes, I'm serious.
So did they let you smoke cigarettes in there?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
You didn't have to earn that privilege?
No, that was the only thing that you can do. And that's the only thing I looked forward to in there.
Yeah, so they give you that. So you started drinking real late. At 21, you're only 30. So you've been drinking. When did it get real bad? When do you think you started blacking out right away?
I'd say 25 or 26.
Do you think you started drinking to fit in with the crowd, the Jackass guys that you were hanging out with more? They were drinking, they were older? And
not really. Honestly, it's the funny fucking stories that happen when I'm blacked out. Or if somebody else is blacked out.
What about all the funny shit that happened that, you know, made you successful when you weren't blacked out? You know, like all the, like the CKY 1 and CKY 2K. I mean, that shit was funny and you weren't drunk.
It's because I was in school and all I wanted to do was get out and go film something funny.
I wouldn't say that the alcohol has anything to do with why you're funny, what's funny. In fact, it probably hinders a lot of the funny. I'm sure it makes some of it, but it probably takes away a lot of it.
Well, it's what I told the doctors was, you know, like, I'm either really super happy, like big time, or I'm like majorly depressed. And I know why. Is because, you know, if we're filming an episode, that's 10 days of filming. And it's 10 days of being completely busy, filming nonstop, and I'm paying attention of the whole episode making sense, and I'm paying, and I like doing that, and I like making sure that it's going to be funny. And then as soon as it ends, you know, everybody goes on hiatus, and I'm at my house alone, bored to tears.
Oh yeah, it sucks being bored.
Yeah, so the only option is going to fucking Jitters or my bar and sipping on a fucking beer for 10 days straight, waiting to film another episode.
I don't know if it's the only option. I mean,
it's not the only option, but like that's the easiest option.
Well, you could go work more. You could, you know, create more projects for yourself to stay busy and, you know, kind of swamp yourself under with work so you don't even have time to drink or be drunk. You know what I mean? Like, you used to be far more busy and have a lot more things set up when you weren't drinking so much.
Because my family lived across the street from a shit factory, and I was broke as a joke, and if I needed a new pair of shoes because there was a big hole at the bottom of it, I couldn't get a new pair. So I was like completely motivated to do stuff.
So you feel like once you earned a certain amount of money doing what you wanted,
well,
you've lost the motivation.
Dude, it's true. Like, money ruins a lot of shit. It ruins friendships. It ruins motivation. It ruins a lot of things. Like, it really does. Because if you have loads of money, then why the fuck are you going to go kickflip some gap that, you know, if it takes you 10 tries, it's going to be like a painful 9 tries. And then once you land it, it's pretty rewarding, but like, if you have over $1 million, why bother?
Well, you got yourself out of the misery of being broke, but the misery of living around other human beings and living in America or whatnot, you know, there's still got to be other things to motivate you to keep busy and positive. I mean, the only motivation can't be just to get drunk, because that's a motivation to get away from things as well, you know. It's just,
well, honestly, when I stay like 7 to 10 days sober and I have a radio show once a week, for those 7 days, I'll usually be skateboarding or something like that. And there's nothing really to talk about. Like, who gives a fuck if I did a Smith grind to 180 out? Like, nobody knows what that is and nobody cares. Like, nobody.
So maybe your immediate friends who hang out don't.
Well, I mean, it's cool if I get it on film, but like, nobody wants to hear it on the radio. They want to hear about a fucking story of being a shit show.
I think more people would probably rather hear about a success story of you know, you coming back from where you thought was a bad, dark place and finding a positive out of that. And, you know, you're inspirational to a lot of kids, and I think anybody would probably rather see the positive side of it than the shit show or the blacking out, you know. It's not something that, like, when you black out, that's not much of a inspiration to anybody. Anybody can go and drink a whole lot and black out. You don't need any talent for that. But
well,
to do your 180 Smith grind,
yeah,
that takes some effort.
Well, I was in a group with about 20 people, and everybody said, what person do you want to pick to talk about their problems and topics and all that stuff? Everybody points at me because they knew I was the dude from Jackass and they wanted to hear my problems.
But dude, your life
you know, so they asked
doesn't
me,
seem easy, and doesn't seem they like asked, you could relate to them, guys. Yeah,
well, know? They asked me what my worst experience was, and I tell them, I'm like worst experience of being on drugs or alcohol or whatever. So I say, okay.
You write this down?
Yeah, I'm like, well, in 03, I'm like...
You reading something?
Yeah, I wrote it down. I said, today we have a small group meeting, and we have... to share our worst moment with the abuse of drugs and or alcohol. Hands down, my worst moment was in Copenhagen, Denmark, when I was 24. We were on the Steve-O tour, and we just finished a show with Ryan Dunn, Wee Man, Preston, Pontius, and Dunlap. We were in the hotel lobby bar drinking like a thirsty camel stranded in the fucking Gobi Desert. Then Steve-O shows up with cocaine. I do it. Even after 30 milligrams of Adderall, we are already bonkers, and Dunlap shows up with weed that he's been bragging about how good it is. Now, I don't even like weed, but the fact that he wouldn't shut up about how good it was made me... Steve-O's girlfriend, Candy, decide to have a weed-eating competition. It turns out I win.
Weed-eating?
Yeah. Eating about $100 worth, and 20 minutes later, I'm hysterically laughing for no reason. Then it gets worse. Now I'm realizing that half of it is probably hasn't even kicked in yet. Now I'm completely scared, and my head is spinning, and I'm starting to hallucinate. Dunn puts me in my room and shuts the door with the lights out. All I can see is the red blinking clock. It gets worse. I can't see, and I feel a serious heart attack coming on. I can't move. Suddenly, my life flashes before my eyes like a timeline in photographs from when I was 1 till 24 in a matter of seconds. Like being 2 years old, seeing snow for the first time, seeing what a big wheel is, playing with Matchbox cars with my brother and Hannah, getting my first cat, Buffy, my second cat, Kiki, getting my first skateboard, situations in school, good times with friends. It all flashes before your eyes in a matter of seconds. Your entire life you see in seconds. Then I begin to have an out-of-body experience, and I'm floating up looking at myself dying. It actually felt relaxing, but I thought, I'm not dying in Copenhagen at the age of 24. It took all my energy to come back to my body and crawl into the bathroom in the pitch dark, looking for the sink. I find it, I turn on the water, and I drink it for 1 hour or more. I actually fell asleep on the sink drinking water. I woke up 24 hours later in the bathroom, and I had no fucking clue where I was or what city I was in. I just felt completely tweaked. I walked outside, and everything had a yellow tint to it, and when a gust of wind came, I felt it was all over my body like if you took 5 hits of ecstasy. I thought I was going to stay like that forever. I didn't drink for the rest of the Europe tour. Fucking scary. People say you were probably just high, and my answer is yes. I was so high that I had a choice to live or die, and that's a fucking fact.
Wow. Well, sounds like you remembered a whole lot.
I did. I remember everything.
Well, sitting in rehab, don't you feel like you kind of relived that night, and it wasn't so fun again? I mean, just thinking about that, it sounds like you once again went through your whole life.
I mean... rehab was completely fucking boring as hell, but, like, the only thing that I'm thankful for is the fact that I have a half a book written, because there's, like, 200 pages in this thing that I bought, and there's 100 pages completely filled with words.
Well, you wrote that because maybe you were too busy being sober and not drinking.
Either that or just complete boredom.
Well, if you're at a show at the Note, and drinking away, you're not going to write anything.
And you know what? I've thoughts in my head that I can write at least 4 pages about. And now that I'm out of rehab and I'm here with you, like, you're occupying my time and I'm having fun hanging out with you, that I'm probably not going to write it tonight.
Well, let's turn this radio show off and get back to writing your book then. I mean, you got a lot of...
Well, that's bullshit. People want to hear what I have to say.
That's true. And what you have to say can also be written down, dude. I mean, all I'm saying is, look, it seems like you got a lot done when you weren't busy drinking. And there's proof right in your hands right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, be proud of that. That's one step already, is to realize that you can do things without drinking.
Let me read one more and then we'll play a song. Yep. War Stories, Europe, 06. We're filming a Viva La Bam episode and we and we have some downtime at the hotel lobby bar, and I finally spend some time with the MTV lawyer on the trip and connect. His drink of choice is Johnny Walker Black. I decide to drink him shot for shot with... With the fun we've been having, we both black out. Ken winds up falling down the stairs, pissing his pants with a bloody mouth right in the lobby, and I wander off on my own. I wake up at 6 a.m. the next day, a shit pile upside down on some church stairs with some leaves in my hair. Where the fuck am I? I look around and I see old buildings. I must be in Europe. But where in Europe? I walk further, looking at street signs and store names. They look Italian. I must be in Italy. But where? I walk more and I see a moat. Venice. I must be in Venice, Italy. Okay, but where the fuck is my hotel? I can't remember the name or what the hotel even looks like. Fuck, now what? After an hour of walking, I just pick up a fucking payphone and I call the only number I have at MTV. I finally get through after 20-minute collect call and I get the address to my hotel. I take a 10-minute cab ride. Of course I get ripped off. It's Italy. A 10-minute cab ride cost me $50. Fucking dickheads.
Wow, man. That was, what year?
That was 03. No, yeah, maybe.
When's the last time you thought about these stories of you being, like, fucked up that you can remember that much detail?
Never, because I was too busy hanging out with friends. When you're bored to tears and you can't even have a fucking Marilyn Manson book to read, the only things that you have to read is like spiritual books and AA books, which I'm totally not into. I'm bored to tears. You can't even read a newspaper in there. You can't check email. You can't check your text messages on your phone. They put it away in a locker. You can't text. You can't do anything, really.
Have you tried?
Well, they try to isolate you from the outside world completely so you're not distracted at all.
Well, yeah, so you can just forget about everything that could be the cause of it, you know? I mean, the outside world is a good reason to drink for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Steve-O about any of this? I know he just got out of rehab and he seems to have been doing well. I don't know how
he's been 2 years clean and...
2 years already?
Yeah, and I've only seen him once when I was filming Benji Madden on a green screen for the 69 Eyes video, Dead and Gone, and we did that at the Jackass office, and he came in, and all he said was he was going hiking with a slut.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you replace alcohol and drugs with sluts. Sounds pretty nice.
Well, it seems like he was having fun, but I mean, he has a house in LA that he hasn't been to in over 2 years. He's still living at a sober living house with a group of 5, 6, 7 people. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's what it takes for him to stay sober. You know, it's what he knows. He doesn't trust himself out with regular people.
And that's what I'm saying. What's going to happen when we start filming Jackass and I see Ryan Dunn with a Crown Royale in his hands?
Maybe if it takes... Do you want to be sober doing filming the new Jackass movie? Or do you?
You know, I want to be. Drunk? I really don't know. I know Missy wants me to be. I know Ape and Phil wants me to be.
What do you think Tremaine and the rest of the guys think?
Well, the fact that I wound up in the emergency room twice in the past 6 months kind of scares me because I think if I keep this shit up, I'm probably going to wind up dead. But. Yeah. But the fact of being sober forever is a scary thought.
You don't have to think about forever.
Like, you really have to take it one step at a time. Absolutely. Or one day at a time.
Yeah.
Because if you say, like, you know what? I drank too much the other day, and I'm not drinking for 2 months. If you look at 2 months, it's never going to happen. You have to say, I'm going to take it one day at a time. All that I know is I'm not drinking today. And then when you wake up the next day, you have to say the same thing.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
You can't say I'm not drinking for 2 months because that's too long of a... It's like too big of a goal. Like,
well, when did you learn that?
kind of a long time ago, but you know, I was kind of fed up with all the lectures and bullshit and all these meetings that I had to do, but I actually learned quite a bit, and I'm actually glad I went, because just for the fact that I have tons of fucking pages of words.
And now you get to kind of appreciate your freedom a little bit more.
Yeah.
Then you feel,
dude,
like it's a little bit nicer to be free.
Once the fourth day came and I said that I'm not sleeping at all, and they recommended chamomile tea for the fourth time, and I was like, I had 3 cups every fucking night and it doesn't motherfucking work, and they wouldn't give me any medicine, I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm leaving. Then they were like, all right, we'll give you medicine. I'm like, you know what? I already made up my mind. I'm already leaving. And Gina Lynn and Travis are already on their way to come and get me. Even though they weren't, they were on their way to Pittsburgh. And I talked to them, and they got their friend James to come and pick me up and take me to New Hope, to your house.
Well, that's good. I feel like I'm hiding a fugitive right now.
A fugitive.
Well,
that's the thing.
Fugitive,
like,
from rehab.
I feel like I came out of jail and I committed a crime, but I didn't do fucking anything.
Dude, nobody cares whether you stay in rehab. They just care that you stay healthy.
Yeah, well,
and like on the right track and realizing that you have so much more potential than a guy who can finish a bottle of fucking Jack Daniels.
Yeah, well, you know, Jess was like, "Man, you know, used to skate all the time and fucking go for it and all this shit." Yeah, well, Jess, I was 22 years old and I was able to do that. Now I'm fucking 30 and I have 5 bone spurs in my feet. And
you're young as shit, dude. 30's a tough year.
It's seriously more pain than pleasure to land a trick.
You, like, you have so many other things that you can do.
I kickflip down 10 stairs, which is like not even that cool. You know, like most people do switch 360 flips these days down 10 stairs. But if I did a regular kickflip down 10 stairs and I landed it, my feet with all the bone spurs, it's more pain than pleasure to ride away from it. Like it's usually it's like a nice rewarding feeling. No, not with me. It hurts.
Well, you have a lot of other things you can be busy with. If it hurts to skate and shit like that, then you can, you know, write new skits, make some fucking shit. Make some new movies, plan some more shit, write another book. You got, I mean, you fucking got tons of things under your belt, dude.
Well, the book already has
your
sold
new book's out.
Yeah.
How's that doing?
Sears is Dog Dirt. Yeah, it's sold out, so they're printing up more. So that's
where's
great.
Where's my copy?
Dude, I had a copy in the Hummer when I came over your house, and you never grabbed it.
Oh, you left without giving me it.
Because you never came out to get it.
So that is you're up to doing book signings, and you had to leave rehab to go and do a signing, and you're going to be doing that. How long is the book signing stuff go for?
Well, there's one on Saturday in Long Island, and then there's another one in Connecticut, and then I have to go to Colorado.
You think you're going to need to drink for that kind of stuff, or can you hang with fans and stuff without drinking?
I don't know. It really all depends on what mood I'm in.
What do you think? I mean, you don't have to plan it.
I could do it. I could do it sober. It's easy. I mean, whatever.
Sounds like a hard time, though.
Well, yeah,
it does. I mean, it sounds like a hard time. I don't think I have the propensity to drink as much as you do, and it seems like a hard time for me to drink and go and play a show, you know.
Well, for instance, the last book signing I had was in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which was 1 week ago. And Missy and Louie came with me in the Range Rover, and Missy gets a text message halfway through the trip, and it's a 3-hour drive, and it's a text from her friend Natalie, who says that her neighbor saw me at Half Moon Cafe in Kennett Square having a dinner date with a girl, and I looked very cozy, and. And I say, oh, yeah? Well, you know what it was? It was my neighbor, Mike Cresta, his wife's sister, happened to come and sit and talk with me because Novak was out on the phone arguing with his girlfriend for 20 to 30 minutes. And we were sitting there laughing, drinking red wine. And this dude happens to look over and see us drinking red wine. And then he claims that I'm on a fucking dinner date. You know, like...
Well, people talk. What is... Yeah. So you've seen Novak recently. What is... Did he know you went into rehab?
No.
Have you talked to him since?
No. I haven't talked to anybody. Nobody knows. And that's the thing. I was trying to tell people, like... Joe DeVito was trying to get a hold of me. Jacob Hoy from MTV. All these people. And, you know, they're asking me if I'm going to show up to the signing and all this stuff. And 4 or 5 days goes by and I don't reply. And I know that they're like, dude, what the fuck? Are you on a bender or something? It's like, no, I'm not on a bender, actually. I'm in fucking rehab and they won't let me use the computer and they won't let me turn my phone on. Like, they, dude, it's seriously like a pure mission to even... I told him that I had to send the email that just said one word, yes.
Better you were there than to Joe DeVito. Though.
Joe DeVito goes, did you read the script? What do you think about it? And I said to the counselor, I'm like, dude, I just need to sign on and all I need to type is yes. He sat there and watched me type yes. I had 1 minute to type it and I had, and then I sent it and that was the end. Like, I had no, like, time. Like, he was right behind my shoulder watching me do it.
Well, you needed some personal time, man. You can clear your schedule out for personal time. Everything else can wait. I mean, you're most important, and your family and everybody who cares about you is definitely most important than replying to a fucking yes about some MTV shit. You know, I'm sure anybody who's asking you to reply would understand. It's better than you being on a bender and not replying, because you've done that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, that's what everybody's kind of used to, but, like, you know, this time I was actually in rehab, and I simply couldn't answer any texts or phone calls, you know? And it was driving me fucking up a wall, because I was already bored to tears, and I would love to answer emails, and I'd love to answer text messages, and I'm just sitting there bored to tears, like, you know, like... Seriously, the only thing that I was able to do was write down shit and do push-ups and sit-ups or whatever. Like, I had to occupy my time somehow, because the only books that were there were AA books, and I'm not into that. Like, all I wanted was for my dad to bring me my Marilyn Manson book and read it, and that would have made me content for a few days. But no, they wouldn't let me have it because they don't want me to read anything from the outside world.
They don't want you reading people glorifying the excessive use of drugs and alcohol like they believe Marilyn Manson probably did in that book.
Well, whatever. That's one thing that I was looking forward to doing. Like, I would have stayed there another 2 days if I was able to read that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of fucking downtime, even though there's a lot of, like, lectures and fucking spiritual meetings and bullshit like that. But there's still a lot of downtime.
Even if it's just hating what you had to go through in there to realize what got you in there to make you not want to go back or have to deal with that kind of situation is part of the recovery. Like, just hating being there is enough for you to reflect on what's been going on with you.
I kind of, like, when I was in there, I kind of started to hate everybody who gave me the intervention. Thank God you weren't there, because I'd be hating you.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even invited to the intervention. I've thought about that.
And what bullshit is, like, you know,
because I live in New
York. I'm here with you now. Like, some dude named James, who I never even met, drove me all the way here to New Hope. And you know what? I had $217 that I had to give to the rehab, and they put it in a locker. And when I left, and I said, I'm fucking leaving, and you can't talk me out of it, I signed all these papers saying that I have my cell phone, I have my charger, I have all my stuff, and I signed the paper. Then when I'm, like, halfway through the duration of the trip, we stop at a rest stop.
You forgot the money.
Yeah, they never gave me the $217. So now, suppose I call and I say, hey, I know I signed a paper saying I have everything, but I just realized that you never gave me my $217.
But you signed that away, too. They have record that you gave them that. They can't steal that.
Yeah, but what if they say that you signed a paper saying that you have everything, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I signed a paper saying I have everything I have.
Seems a bit sneaky.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking weird.
I mean, fuck. I'm just glad I'm out of there, really, but...
Well, I think everybody... You shouldn't be pissed off at the people who tried to help. I'm sure that it was very hard for everyone like definitely your parents, and it's probably hard for them every day if they have to feel like they have to intervene with their son's life, and they want you to do what you want to do, but if what you want to do is hurting you, they're just trying to help that.
Well, honestly, like, that was the longest time I've ever been at one place at once for the past at least 10 years, really. Like, I can't even be in my own house for one full day. Like, my own house. Like, if one day goes by, like, and it's 8 o'clock at night and I haven't left the house, I need to, like, leave and go to, like, Wawa or something. Like, I just need to, like, drive away just to, like, get out. You know, in rehab, like, you cannot leave. You're in a house and you can't even go out unless you're smoking a cigarette or something. You know, other than that,
forces you to face yourself.
Yeah, so, like I full-blown started to get, like, cabin fever, dude. You know, and I don't know how people stay there for 30 to 90 days, because I was in there for 4 days and I was going fucking bonkers. Like, losing my goddamn mind.
Well, you're lucky you weren't trying to rehab in jail, man, you know?
I wrote about everything, dude. Like, here, here's a page right here. Okay. Amsterdam, Holland. I get off the airplane with Missy, taking the train straight to the red light district, where we bump into the CKY crew looking for weed and mushrooms. Luckily, I talked to Missy into bringing a small bag for this trip, because the worst thing ever is when girls bring two duffel bags full of bullshit for a 3-day trip. But that didn't happen this time, so we were able to walk around comfortably before the CKY show at the Milkweg happens. Chad really wanted a band called El Bandita to open for the show, like the last time they played, on a whiskey and pill bender, so she just dropped off some CDs to give to Chad her new CD. Oh, and it kicks ass. Now the CKY has ended the show and I've had a few shots and beers. I stumble by an Amsterdam canal and nearly fall in. But is what did fall in was 300 euros, and I'm damn sure I'm not about to let that float away. Now I'm running frantically following the flow of the moat, looking for some kind of fucking gadget in time to lean down and get my money before it sinks into the shit water. Three bridges down, I wait for the shit-soaked euros, and I lean down as Louis holds my feet. I manage to get my money, but it's wet and it smells like a sewer. I need to get rid of it. Whether it's weed, shrooms, booze, or a whore, this money has got to go. It smells like shit.
Isn't that the same night that you nearly got killed by a motorcycle driving into you?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you probably remember it better.
I wasn't there, but I just saw the terror on Missy and Louie's face after coming back, after seeing you nearly...
Well, I just carelessly escaped. Walked in the middle of the road as a motorcycle was going, like...
Crossing the street in Europe is a terrible idea.
35 miles per hour, something like that, and I...
The like motorcycle, like...
Oh, yeah, like his handlebars, like, clip my ribs, yeah. And I go flipping around. Luckily, I was drunk, so it didn't hurt.
You want to play an El Bandita song?
I do.
Let's play that song.
Track 6.
You know the name of it?
Why do I have your phone? It's Louis. Let's see what he has to say. Yeah. Why do I have your phone?
I don't know. I've been looking for this
Louis.
Show.
Hang on.
All right. Well, let's play that El
Bandita. No, wait. Let's see what Louis has to say.
Do you know how to work that?
Not really. I haven't had an iPhone. Louis. Hold
on. Speaker. Put it on speaker.
I'm looking for it.
Want me to do it?
Yes.
Give me it.
Hold on, Louis.
Louis. Hold on. All right, here we go.
Lawrence.
Hey, Louis. Hello. From the Moxie.
What are you doing?
Looking for a job.
A job?
Yeah.
Well, I have a job for you.
Tell him I need the bar back or something.
Well, I've been in rehab for 5 days and I haven't gotten any pussy, so you could suck my dick for $50, faggot.
That sounds like an alright deal.
$50?
How about that $100 I left in your car?
Dude, that's your fault, man. Seriously. Chad, this idiot when he goes on the CKY tour in Europe, he puts $100 in the console of my Mercedes, which everyone borrows. Like, Mike Hain, Mark Hanna, like, everybody borrows it.
I think that turned into gas money,
dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I go away on the CKY tour, and 2 weeks goes by. Who knows who could have been in that car? Well, he gets back, and the money's gone, and now I feel bad about it. So I bought him a few drinks at Chad's Ford Tavern, probably about $50 worth. So I feel like we're even.
So what are you guys doing?
A radio show, you fucking idiot. Yeah.
You're on the radio right now, literally.
Yeah, right now you are.
When's the Moxie playing doing? The note?
The Moxie. What are you guys doing after this?
I asked you to plug the Moxie show at the note.
Oh. December 17th, we're playing a holiday show. Everyone should come out.
That's gonna get not any, a holiday.
You gonna get any pussy that night?
Well, it's gonna be for the holiday.
Gonna get any pussy that night?
I might try. There might be a couple
people. Well, try to set up word for failure, so that means you're not gonna get any.
Well, Bam Bam's fresh back from rehab, and we're gonna play an Ella Bandita song.
Track 6.
From Holland, yep. She's Dutch.
Is it on your iPod? Because
I got it right here.
All right, good.
All right, here is Ella Bandita Radio Band.
Shut up, Lawrence.
It's all right.
We're playing a song.
All right, here's Bam. I'm gonna put you over.
Just get over here, Lawrence, man.
All right, Ella Bandita Radio Bam.
Series 20 of action. Like, I give a fuck.
Holy Lord, I got a boner.
Strap yourselves in and lace up those shoes because you're listening to Radio Bam.
Turn it up.
Faction.
Yeah.
Well, that was Ella Bandita, and they're from Netherlands, and Chad made friends with her. Did you bang her out?
No.
Why not?
She's not my type.
She said she has a dick and a cunt.
That's especially not my type. just that, for the dick part.
Is that just a song or is it the truth?
I'm not sure. I mean, with her, dude, she's fucking hardcore, man. She's a badass, crazy motherfucking bitch, dude. There's, I took a photo with her a while ago. I don't know where it is on the internet somewhere, but she looked cool enough. I just wanted a photo with her, but then she got up on stage and performed naked in front of everybody and, like, spat on people, and it was fucking great. It was just her by herself with a four-track and a fucking keytar. Nude.
A keytar.
Yeah. It's fucking badass, dude.
Yeah, fucking, man.
She's a mean bitch.
All right, well, this is the rehab episode, I suppose. And
the first.
Yeah, I just got out. And you know what? I'm going to read one more thing because we have 3 minutes. Day 6 in rehab. The only reason why I know I'm staying here till 4 today is because it's raining like hell and there wouldn't be shit to do in the outside world anyway. Also, I'm hoping my Marilyn Manson book will show up. And the gym is open at 3:30 and I'm in the mood to burn off the anger of a non-needed intervention. I'm not Steve-O. I don't wake up to weed laced in PCP, nitrous tanks, coke, Special K, Xanax, Percocets, and booze. I simply black out once a week from whiskey and Adderall. I would say it's a medium problem and rehab can be avoided. The other people here are primetime heroin addicts, major alcoholics mixed with painkillers. The people here make me look like a fucking Care Bear. Not to mention, my counselor weighs over 300 pounds and he's gonna tell me about addiction? How about the 9 cheesesteaks he eats for lunch? That's addiction, my friend. Yeah, man.
Oh, you were a drunk Care Bear.
Here's all the people I was with. Rick, alcoholic, Indiana, Ativan. Greg, D.C., alcoholic, addict, coke. Tom, Key West, alcoholic, addict, coke. Sam, Long Island, heroin. Greg, alcoholic, Lincoln University, PA. Paul, alcoholic, Saratoga, New York. Clem, drug addict, New York. Greg, addict, heroin, Manhattan. Daniel, Manhattan, opiates. Brandon, drunk, Reading, PA.
I think I know him.
Rich...
I'm just, I don't know.
Richard, alcoholic, Wildwood, New Jersey. Jeff, alcoholic, Reading, PA, and Hawaii.
That's like Corey, a lot of people.
Weed, Bermuda.
Weed.
Tony, yeah, weed.
Well, he must have had a bigger problem than all you guys for being in there.
You know what? Let me tell you a story about fucking Corey. He went bonkers. Guy. He went bonkers 2 weeks into the whole rehab process. And
From weed? From not having weed.
He wasn't in there for drinking.
He didn't admit other shit.
No. Believe me, once you get in there, the more you admit, the more medicine you get and the more benefits you get, actually. So, you know, I kind of admitted more than I actually did. But
you don't bullshit. You normally tell
Corey, on the other hand, said that he's from Bermuda and he just smoked loads of weed. And he went fucking bonkers and he said that he likes to go to parks and pet kitty cats, foxes, and bears. And then kind of started to think he was nuts. And then at midnight, when it was time to go to bed, he started like shadow boxing himself in the mirror as his roommate was trying to sleep, and he thought it was completely weird, so he told the counselor and they took him to a psychiatric unit. So if anybody thinks that you know, if they smoke weed and it's not a problem, well, this dude smoked weed and it seems like it's a problem because he's in a psychiatric unit in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Well, there's a lot of people that have problems from various things, like the cheesesteak guy.
Yeah.
You can't resist the Philly.
You know, like, how the fuck is this dude going to tell me about addiction when he weighs over 300 pounds?
He was probably a former addict.
A really sloppy 300 pounds. Like, you have a food addiction, man. Like, you're unhealthy. You might have a heart attack from a fucking cheesesteak. And you're going to tell me about having a heart attack from fucking Adderall or whiskey? Fucking A.
Fucking B. It's got more holes.
Fucking B. See, you're simple.
Ah, it's an old one. Real old. Really, really old. 80s.
Can we play one more song?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Welcome
back, Bam.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'd like to hear Wendy O. Williams, that sexy fucking bitch.
Yeah. She was sexier when she was alive.
Well,
Wendy O, or you want to hear Plasmatics?
I want to hear Master Plan.
That's a Plasmatics song. Wendy O. Williams was the singer for the Plasmatics.
Sexy fucking bitch.
Wendy O. was sober.
Yeah, I know.
And which you wouldn't know her because she was a fucking wild.
How did she die?
She shot herself in the head.
What a nut job.
Well, she
and
said,
she was sober?
Yeah.
That's fucking
she
fucked
was a
up.
Real health nut. She was fucking dead serious about health, and she was really smart.
Did she ever do anything?
Yeah, I'm sure she was like a speed head and stuff like that.
And then
you know, when she started, yeah.
Yeah.
But she promoted sobriety and staying
well,
healthy.
Well, maybe she relapsed and then How do you know?
Well, I read about it. I didn't know her personally, but they,
well, what
she
you
said,
read is usually false.
She said in her suicide note that if you feel bad for her, that's worse than she felt when she did it, because she felt great and she didn't feel bad. She was just bored. And they found like her. They found acorns. She was feeding squirrels right before she shot herself. A terrible thing because she was fucking great. So, and she. Hardly anybody knows who the fuck she is. She's probably the best fucking female rock star ever existed.
I think she's hot as fuck, and I'd probably eat the corn out of her shit.
What do you want to hear?
Master Plan.
Okay. I have Master Plan live.
No, I want the real version.
I gotta find it. It's these fucking iPods, man. No tracks label. Oh, there it is.
Pendarvis is pissed because we're 1 minute over. Yeah.
Fucking fuck.
Fuck.
Fuck. Here it is. Master Plan.
Here we go. One, two, fuck you.
Radio Bam for this week.
We're done.
Tune in next week for more.
You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam every Monday. 7-4 PM.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Faction.